All right, Psalm 119, if you would please. Stand out of love and respect for the Word of God. We're in verses 73 through 80, the Hebrew letter Jod. And we will read these eight verses together this evening, beginning in verse 73 of Psalm 119. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word unto thy servant. Tender mercies come unto me, that I may live, for thy law is my delight. Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause, but I will meditate in thy precepts. Let those that fear thee turn unto me, and those that have known thy testimonies. Let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. So tonight, as we look at the wonderful Word of God, we see some interesting beginnings here in verses 76 through 80. They all begin with the word let. Let. He says, let, I pray thee, in verse 76. Let thy tender mercies, in verse 77. Let the proud, in verse 78. Let those that fear thee, in verse 79. Let my heart be sound in thy statutes, in verse 80. When someone says to you, let such and such, right? Let such and such. Let such and such. What is that phrase or that word infer or mean to you? It's a request, right? Yes, it's something that you're kind of saying, please, right? You're asking if this is possible, all right? It's not a bold statement per se. It's not something that you're demanding or commanding that it be done, but rather it's more of a on the receiving side saying, would you please allow this to be so? Would you let this happen? All right? It's a request. We're asking, and the psalmist here is asking for some things in his life. If you'll remember back to last week, we said in verse 73, thy hands have made and fashioned me. We talked about being made and fashioned in the image of God and how all of that was very critical for us to understand. Then he said in verse 74, they that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. And then in verse 75, he said, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right and that thou in faithfulness hath afflicted me. So then he gets to these requests. He makes some statements, some fundamental statements about life and how life is in the first three verses. And then these five verses following, in this group of eight, he's making some requests to his just, holy, and righteous God. A God who loves him. A God that has formed and fashioned him. A God that has dealt well with him, even in times of affliction. A God that has provided hope in his life. A God that he loves and trusts. You know what? Whom do we make requests of in this way? Right? Those that we trust. I mean, that's what it's going to be, isn't it? Why would you ask somebody you don't trust for something? Right? They're not going to give it to you. They're not going to deal truly with you. But God is. But God is. So let's look at the first one here in verse 76. The attitude of the psalmist is simply a request. Would you please, O Lord, allow this to happen? And just look at the words that he uses in verse 76. Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word unto thy servant. If you'll remember, there was a verse before that talked about God being held to his word. That, hey, God, I'm asking this, not out of my own desires, not out of my own wants, but according to what you told me you would do. God, I'm looking to you. I'm trusting you. I'm hoping, I'm praying, and I'm asking you for these things to be true according to what you said you would do. You know, God is merciful. He's merciful. But more than just merciful, it's his merciful kindness toward us. You know, not only we talked about before that God is good and God is merciful, but God is kind. God is kind. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. You understand that God's merciful kindness is to be a comfort for us according to his word. God wants to comfort his people. You know what comfort, the definition means? It says to strengthen, to invigorate, to cheer or enliven, to strengthen the mind when depressed or enfeebled, to console, to give new vigor to the spirits, to cheer or relief from depression or trouble. Let thy merciful kindness be for my comfort. What gives us hope? What gives us cheer? What gives us encouragement in time of darkness? The merciful kindness of God. What strengthens the believer? What invigorates and enlivens us and gives us new hope and new energy and new power? The merciful kindness of God. You understand, this is what the psalmist is requesting. This is what the psalmist is asking for. Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort. Over in Psalm 117 in verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, O praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people. For his merciful kindness is great toward us. And the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. Hey, this is just a side note. If you want a great chapter of the Bible to memorize, that's your chapter right there. Two verses. Boom! I got that one. It's a good one. Psalm 117. Hey, you can say, I know a whole chapter of the Bible. All right? Isn't that great? Isn't that wonderful? Yeah, that was for free. Okay, here we go. But his merciful kindness is what? Great. It's great toward us. And the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Hey, remember this one? You probably know this one. You probably already know a chapter of the Bible. I bet you do. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What does that sound like to you? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That is the merciful kindness of God. How he leads us. How he guides us. How he provides for us. How he cares for us. As a shepherd cares for his sheep. He gives us what we need. He restores our soul. He feeds us. He cares for us. He comforts us. He protects us. You see, God is merciful to us. His kindness is extended to us, and it provides and brings comfort in our lives. Comfort. Being strengthened, invigorated, cheered, enlivened, strengthened when depressed or enfeebled, consoled, given new vigor to the spirits, cheered and relieved from depression and trouble, his comfort is through his merciful kindness to us. Psalm 71 says, "Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. Who has done great things? O God, who is like unto thee? Thou which hast showed me great and sore troubles, shalt quicken me again, and shalt bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Thou shalt increase my greatness, and comfort me on every side. I will also praise thee with the psaltery, even thy truth, O my God. Unto thee will I sing with the harp, O thou holy one of Israel. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul, which thou hast redeemed. My tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long. For they are confounded, for they are brought to shame, that seek my hurt." You understand that the merciful kindness of God gives us stability. But because those that do not possess such, like the wicked, they are confounded. They are confused. They are not comforted. They do not have hope. Acts 9:31, you understand that the church was going through a growth period, but it was also going through great turmoil. Because you understand that God told them to go into all the world. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. They were doing really great at the Jerusalem. No, they were. They were knocking that out of the park. 3,000, 5,000, 8,000, multiplied multitudes. I mean, they were nailing it. Do you know what then happened? They didn't go to the next part. They didn't go to Judea. They didn't go to Samaria. They didn't go to the uttermost part of the earth. You know what God had to do? Send a little persecution to scatter them where they were supposed to go. Hey, so they were in trouble. They were running from trouble. They were having difficulty in things. But I want you to listen to this. Then, in Acts 9:31, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord, and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, were multiplied. So after they scattered and began doing what they were supposed to do, things kind of settled in. Why? Because God wants his people to be comforted. God wants his people to enjoy the comfort of the presence of the Holy Spirit, of the comfort of the Word of God, of the comfort of salvation. We talked about the peace of God this morning. Through salvation, God, in his merciful kindness, brings us comfort. In Romans 15:4, it says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." You know, God in his merciful kindness saw fit to give us his word. Did God have to give us his word? No. So in his kindness, his merciful kindness, he extended to us the mind of God. He extended to us so we can know what he expects and what he wants. Isn't that kind? And God's not here to torment us. God's not here to play mind games with us and trick us. No, he's here to comfort us in our time of need. He does it through the Holy Spirit. He does it through the Word of God. He does it through the Lord Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 7, the Bible says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. Isn't that amazing? He's the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. I think they could have used the word comfort a few more times in this passage of Scripture. But isn't it true that he's the one that provides the comfort? Listen to this. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. You understand that God wants us to live in comfort. And not the comfort of take your ease, okay? But rather the comfort of being enlivened, cheered, invigorated, strengthened, relieved from trouble, relieved from depression, relieved from being feeble, being consoled, given vigor and cheer in our life. God wants us to be comforted. In Philippians chapter 2 and verses 1 through 3, it says, If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. And then in 2 Thessalonians 2 it says, now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God, even our Father, which hath loved us, and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Back to Psalm 119. He said, let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word unto thy servant. Let's look at the next request in verse 77. Let thy tender mercies come unto me that I may live. For thy law is my delight. Let thy tender mercies come unto me that I may live. You understand that none of us deserve to be here? None of us. None of us deserve to be sucking air today. We don't. We don't. It's but by the mercy of God that we have today, that we have life. And the tender mercies of God extended to us allow us to live. And how should we live? How should we live? We should live for ourselves. We should get what we want, do what we want, go where we want, be what we want, because it's my life to live. Oh, I'm sorry. No, that's not right. Aren't we bought with a price? Aren't we not our own? No, we're not. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present yourselves a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It is for us to live for him. For me to live as Christ and to die as gain. You understand that, and I taught this in a Sunday school lesson, We are no longer the owners of this here life. We are just managers. Be a good manager. You're not the owner anymore. This life is not yours to live for you. It's yours to live for Him. Let thy tender mercies come unto me that I may live. You know what? God wants us to draw nigh. He wants us to approach, to arrive, to be present at His feet. Giving our life back to Him. Allowing our lives to be lived for Him. It's by the tender mercies of God that we have breath. Psalm 25 verses 6 through 10 says, "Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions, according to thy mercy. Remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach in his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies." Psalm 69 verses 16 through 18. "Hear me, O Lord, for thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, and hide them not, and hide not thy face from thy servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. Draw nigh unto my soul and redeem it. Deliver me because of mine enemies." Turn over to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. Just a few psalms back of Psalm 119. Psalm 103. Look at verses 1 through 5. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindnesses and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." You understand that our God is a merciful God. And His tender mercies bring us life. Psalm 145, the Bible says, "The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men His mighty acts and the glorious majesty of His kingdom." Turn over to James chapter 4, if you would. James chapter 4. James chapter 4, look at verse 7. James chapter 4, look at verse 7. "Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up." You know, the psalmist requested. He asked for the tender mercies to come unto him that he might live. "For thy law is my delight." Do you delight in the law of God so that you can live? So that you can live? So that God's tender mercies can be upon you? You know what? We need to live the way God wants us to live. In Isaiah 55, there's kind of an indictment here, but also a lesson to be learned. everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee, shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You see, David understood the truths of God's word, that the tender mercies of God provide life, because he delighted in the law of God. Well, back to Psalm 119. Hope you're making good use of your Bible markers. So far, we have looked at the merciful kindness of God and the tender mercies of God. And as has been the custom of David, there's kind of a note about the enemies of the saints. He requests. He asks God. He says, Lord, please, let the proud be ashamed. For they dealt perversely with me without a cause, but I will meditate in thy precepts. When you think of the word meditation, what do you think of? Focus, attention, commitment, singleness of thought, singleness of mind, right? Is that what you think of when you think of meditation? Okay. You know what I found? The word ashamed is the opposite of that. It was quite interesting. Here's what ashamed means. Affected by shame, obviously. Abashed or confused by guilt. Or a conviction of some criminal action or in indecorous conduct. Or by the exposure of some gross errors or misconduct, which the person is conscious must be wrong, and which tends to impair his honor or reputation. That's a complex definition. I never knew ashamed meant so much. But honestly, it's a little bit opposite of meditation, isn't it? You understand that here is going to be some confusion and guilt and conviction of criminal action or indecorous conduct. You know, I understand that when I'm meditating, there's focus, there's peace, there's understanding. It's not confusion. It's not guilt. It's not those things. So David says that he wants the proud to be ashamed. Just a few verses. I know we're over time tonight. But I want you to just kind of get the sense of this. In Psalm 25, I read to you earlier verses 6 through 10. Now I'd like to read to you verses 1 through 5. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust thee in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Doesn't that encapsulate the sense that he wants the proud to be ashamed, but he will meditate in thy precepts? And that's what is being voiced in Psalm 25, verses 1 through 5. Psalm 70, verses 1 through 5. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Let them be ashamed and confounded that seek after my soul. Let them be turned backward and put to confusion that desire my hurt. Let them be turned back for a reward of their shame that say, aha, aha. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. And let such as love thy salvation say continually, let God be magnified, but I am poor and needy. Make haste unto me, O God. Thou art my help and my deliverer. O Lord, make no tarrying. You see, God, or David is requesting that God allow the proud to be ashamed, to be guilty, because they have perversely dealt with him without cause. But I will meditate in thy precepts. I don't have time to develop all this, so we'll add it on to verse 80, because he says again about something about being ashamed. But can I tell you something here as we close? In 1 Peter chapter 3, the Bible says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is within you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse you. That falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. You know, David, I don't think he was upset so much that he had to suffer wrongly, but rather he was just asking God, God, let them be ashamed. Let the proud be ashamed that have dealt perversely, without cause. But I will meditate in thy precepts. You know what? It's okay for us to suffer wrongfully for the Lord. It's okay. But you know what? It's also okay that we ask God for them to be ashamed, for them to be confounded, for them to be turned back because they have done wickedly. You know what? We ought to be like the psalmist. It's okay to make requests to God. Say, God, would you let these things be so in my daily life? Because God is just. God is holy. God is righteous. Folks, it's the wonderful word of God.